You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Just finding my peace. So this week we talked with Justice Minister Andrew Little on a range of topics, but we started off by chatting about end-to-end encryption and an international statement that was recently made. I started off by asking about what end-to-end encryption is.
Well, end-to-end encryption provides greater security and protection for the transmission of data. That's why a lot of online services want to use it. The problem, the challenge is that some services, in particular social media platforms, we know that in those areas they are also used for criminal offending, particularly, or the worst of which is child sexual exploitation and abuse. So outfits like Facebook, who wanted to go to end-to-end encryption, they are hosting some pretty nasty and insidious images and videos on their sites, use the evidence of criminal offending, and we want law enforcement agencies to be able to investigate that criminal offending, which means having access to the material that gets posted on those sites. And this is the challenge that we've got, the tension between security and protection of data as against the means to investigate criminal offending.
Okay, so what obligations do tech companies currently have to make sure that the public is kept safe?
Well, they have none at all. They have, and that's why, even going back to the Christchurch Core, which came out of the mosque attack last year, and the effort by governments to work with, in this case, social media platforms, for them to take some responsibility for the content on their websites. It's done by persuasion and agreement, because obviously very difficult to legislate and regulate across national boundaries. And this is the issue that we've got. I know you described the statement that went out earlier this week as an international agreement. It doesn't have that status. It's just a number of countries have come together and said, here's an issue we've got. We've got to work with social media companies to make sure that the criminal activity that appears on their platforms is still capable of being investigated by relevant legal authorities.
So what are the next steps going forward to make sure that more people are kept safe?
Well, in terms of the issue about encryption and the extent to which it can conceal criminal offending, I think the best we can do is get more countries on board, and there are quite a few keen to come on board, and then use that as a basis to work with the social media companies as they're starting to design their encryption technology and what it can do, is to say, look, you've got a broader social responsibility too, and let's at least have a dialogue about it, but hopefully work together on it so we can find a way through this very difficult issue.
That was Justice Minister Andrew Little, and so now we're going to move on a bit to talk to him about some of their election issues so far.
95BFM News Election Coverage 2020, Human Issues.
So after our regular chat, I also asked Minister Little about Labour's manifesto, as well as their commitments to Te Tiriti o Waitangi, Ihi Mātou, and incarceration rates in New Zealand. I started off by asking about what is included in the Labour manifesto.
Well, the manifesto is just the range of commitments that we're making for this election. Specific commitments that we make, that we, given the right conditions, hope to be able to implement over the next three-year parliamentary period. So, and look, it's available online, and it tends to cover all the kind of policy areas you expect a government to cover off. So that's the purpose it serves, and it's a bit of an accountability tool for us as well. So if we are elected and are able to form government after Saturday, then in 3 years' time you can look back and say, right, well, what do these things in the manifesto did you fulfil and which didn't you?
So now it's our final week of election coverage, and this week we're looking at human issues. Now I wanted to start talking about Labour's commitments to Te Tiri o Waitangi. So what plans does Labour have when it comes to obligations under this document?
One is continue to work on the treaty settlement issue, so dealing with the grievances of arising out of the Crown's historic breaches of the treaty. That work still continues. I think the approach that we've taken is a more tikanga-based approach, so rather than kind of trying to just settle grievances in large numbers just for the sake of kind of saying we can do it in large numbers in a short space of time. Actually do so in a respectful way that understands that in a lot of these cases the burden of those grievances has been carried for a long time by many generations. So we've adopted that approach. But the other thing, the broader Crown Māori relations issue is something that, you know, this government kicked off 3 years ago, put Kelvin Davis in charge of Māori Crown relations, and that is about looking past the point at which the settlement process is concluded to what is the relationship between Crown and Māori look like in the 21st century, and infusing in kind of everything the Crown does and the government does that things that strengthen their relationship with Māori. So that work is underway. That will gain greater pace if we're re-elected on Saturday.
Okay, so I wanted to touch on this tikanga approach. Now, when it comes to ihu mātou, how has this impacted the situation? How has this approach had an impact?
Ihu mātou is a very complicated issue because the piece of land itself, while it was privately owned, was the subject of a number of acknowledgements of other iwi who have settled their historic grievances with the Crown. And because it was private land at that time, they never got kind of access to it. So now that there's been this claim to protect the heritage nature of it, and the private developer has sort of backed off the development now and is looking for kind of alternative uses for it, or, you know, to dispose of it in different ways, we've got to be very careful about that what happens with it now doesn't undermine the agreements reached with other iwi who never had a right of access to it, and it equally doesn't sort of give an advantage to those who are yet to settle at the moment. So, look, there's been quite a bit of work, and not only, you know, the Prime Minister and others, but my ministers like Willie Jackson have done an extraordinary amount of work to get parties to a point where an agreement is possible. But it requires the remaining things for the Crown and through its ministers to agree. We haven't been able to do that under the present government. If we're re-elected and in a position to do so after Saturday, then obviously we want to close that out. But there is the basis of an agreement that doesn't undermine the treaty settlement process, that restores mana, that protects the heritage status of that land. That is within reach if we can do the right things.
Okay, so next I wanted to touch on incarceration rates in New Zealand. So as reported in June by the Department of Corrections, the total prison population was just under 9,500, with Māori making up 52.3% of the population. What is Labor's strategy to reduce the prison population, and in particular the Māori population?
Well, that number does reflect a quite significant reduction in the prison population. When we took office in October 2017, the prison population was roughly 10,800. The projection at that time for end of 2020 was the prison population would be roughly 13,000. So we're considerably better than that. The big challenge is the over-representation of Māori in our prison population, and that's why under Kelvin Davis's watch they've introduced a program called Hokkaidangi, which is it's just all prisoners, but actually with a particular focus for Māori prisoners is when at the point of release is that they are given the support they need to prevent them from not just coming to prison but from reoffending. That sort of kicked off in the last year or 18 months. It's starting to have an impact now, but it won't show up in figures too much later. The other stuff we're doing is at the criminal justice level generally, and I'm in Hawke's Bay today, actually at the opening of the 16th Rangatahi Court. So that's a court where young Māori offenders in particular come not just before a judge, but also before kuhi and kaumātua of the local iwi, and it's all about kind of restoring whakapapa, finding their pūranga waiwai and restoring their wairua, so that all the stuff that has driven them to offend to the point is, you start to work on that and start to restore the person. But okay, of course, the 15 that have been in place up to now have had a significant effect to prevent more young Māori offenders from winding up in the prison and further down the criminal justice system. So those sorts of things are starting to make a difference.
Okay, and finally, are you nervous for Saturday?
Look, you never take anything for granted. I think the polls show a high degree of support for Labor and for Jacinda Ardern. And I just hope that we are in a position following Saturday to really do the transformational stuff, the stuff that I think we all know needs to be done that we haven't been able to do because the numbers haven't been there even on the government side. You know, there's the potential for a real opportunity. And so let's see where we get to.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.